it is still so in its infancy, but it's also just become part of our everyday lives. And I think, you know, everyone says, oh, email is dead, but it's not. It's not going anywhere. People still use it.
Hello and welcome to Clicked Off. Every week we'll be hearing from the people making it big in e-commerce. I'm your host, Jason Chappell. Joining me today, I have got Ali Wood, Head of Partnerships for UK and Ireland at MailChimp. We have heavy hitters in the room today. Ali, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me. This is my first official podcast.
Your first official podcast. Okay. Do you know what? I've had a couple of people and this has been their first podcast. So as I said to them, I promise I will be gentle. Make it as seamless and easy as possible, right? And just to like completely pierce the veil for everybody, we do show notes behind the scenes, and Ali has come prepared with like the most intense show notes you've ever seen. She is like super prepped. So first time, keep that up. Podcast
ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. Look, podcast hosts are going to love you the world over. If you come with this shit, makes my life so easy, right? I had a little read through and I'm like, cool, I know what we're going to talk about today. And you've got some awesome examples in there that I think people are going to want to hear about. So that's awesome. But before we get going, Ali, do you want to give us a little bit of background about what it is you do at MailChimp?
Sure. Yeah. So I joined MailChimp about 2 months ago now. And I'm part of a very newly formed team in the UK, which includes sales, partnerships, customer success. And so my role is to build out the partnership side of things here. So I'm head of partnerships for UK and I. I have a team helping me do that. A great guy called Will Wright, who is ex-TikTok. And I have another person joining in the new year. So it's really, really exciting because MailChimp as it stands, 50% of business was coming from outside of the US. So as a US-based company, to have 50% of business coming in from countries where they didn't have any sales team, any presence, is quite amazing. So the whole business is really now focusing on the UK market. So we're the first people here. And we're super excited that we are able to put a face to MailChimp and to like build relationships with customers and partners face-to-face on the ground. It's really, really cool.
Awesome. And this is, you know, you said it's something reasonably new. You know, there's no shying away from the fact that the email service provision market is massively competitive right now. And you guys have recently sort of changed a bit of a focus. And we were talking before we hit record, you know, about where MailChimp's, you know, sort of traditional focus had been and now where that focus is going. Can you talk to us about that a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. So as everyone listening to this will know, MailChimp has been around for years. One of the first ESPs on the market in the UK back in the noughties, I guess we should say.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're talking, what, 20-odd years, aren't we? So
I'm my age now. and, you know, it was, you know, it's a brand that's very well loved. A lot of people used it back then. And it was always a brand and a product that we wanted, like, true SMEs to use. So we wanted to make it really, really easy to use, really simple. Someone be able to kind of like pick the product up and be able to send an email relatively easily and not really need a huge amount of training. And that has, you know, served its purpose and built an amazing business, you know, to the point where, you know, MailChimp was acquired by Intuit for $12 billion. So, you know, it's a good chunk of change. But now as we come into sort of like our new journey of what we're trying to achieve, we've updated the features and functionality of the product, and we can now compete within the mid-market space. So the team in the UK specifically is really, really focused on driving that mid-market adoption. We still absolutely love our traditional partners, and we'll continue to service them. And we're looking at ways on how we can improve the partnership program that we have for them as well, and being more engaged with them now that we have some faces here on the ground. But we're also really, really wanting to look at the mid-market space. And that's that the whole organization is focusing on that as well. So that's really, really exciting for me, because when you are trying to establish yourself in a slightly new sector, and you know, you need that business backing, which is absolutely what we have here in the UK.
Well, and I guess I was listening to a podcast recently where they were talking about platforms, like e-commerce platforms and those sorts of things, and people looking forward into the future as to where people will be going and what they're going to be doing. And I think one thing that I kind of really took away from that was the fact that they were saying, well, yeah, those mid-market people are the enterprise customers of the future. And by the same token, those SMEs are your mid-market of the future. You know, if you can nurture them and grow them, you know, in a way that they don't have to, or feel that they have to move away from the product to get something else, then, you know, all of a sudden you have a much longer lifespan on your customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like, you know, that's part of the reason as to why we've been able to build out the additional features and functionality of the product that we need, right? Because we have a huge customer base that is requiring, you know, better features and functionality. And I think, like, when I talk about like the e-commerce industry, like if I think back to the days when I first knew of MailChimp, which was a long time ago, but yeah, like, look, if you go back then, right, you know, there was this whole ecosystem that was built, wasn't there? Like Magento, and I, you know, it was built around Magento, really, wasn't it, at the time? So, and it was when everybody needed a website, no one had one, and everyone needed all of the features and functionalities and the products that went alongside with that, email being one. So it was a much less competitive market at that place, at that time, because people didn't really know, there wasn't too many options. And everyone was just kind of like cutting their teeth and trying to see, like, hey, is my website really going to bring me this amount of money? Are we really going to be using our phones to shop online? Fast forward to where we are now, like you say, it's hugely competitive. And I think it's also like, you know, the way that retailers are at the moment, there's a lot of struggles with all of the economic factors that are happening. So people really need clear, simple solutions that are cost effective, that ensure that you can make the most out of the business that you have. That's what I think today is about. It's about being really, really precise and concrete on your messaging to your customers, knowing who your customers are, and being able to target them in the best way possible. Because we all know how expensive it is to
acquire new customers. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So how do we ensure that we communicate with our customers in the right way? And, you know, MailChimp, yeah, our perception, like we have been a huge part of that journey from back then, but we haven't shouted about our new, like, you know, where we are today and what our goals are. We haven't been talking about that until we had the team here in the UK. So our number one goal at the moment is to change the perception of MailChimp, and to ensure that we, you know, can let everybody know that we can, you know, compete within that mid-market space, and that the product still has that real ease of use and still is a true sort of value product that enables you to get the right messages to the right customer at the right time, and be a really, really simple product to use.
Now, we touched on e-commerce platforms and providers, you know, and I think we mentioned, you know, the Magento side of things, and I think that probably is where lots of this kicked off for a lot of people, you know, rolling back, and then you had things like Shopify coming into the sphere, and they did something very similar, right? They started out with targeting mom and pop shops that were startups, and you know, by giving a product that was easy to use and really simple, and the pricing was, you know, transparent, and then have transitioned, you know, into that mid-market, and now are pushing to that enterprise level with their Plus offering and those sorts of things. But then you have it opening up to other platforms, and, you know, you see the demise maybe of, or a reduction at least in market share for Magento or Adobe. But then other partners, other players come in, like Wix, right? And you guys have recently teamed up with Wix and done a bit of a partnership with them, haven't you?
Yes, we have. Yeah. So, I mean, Wix is a, you know, a multi-year strategic deal for us, and hugely, hugely important, because it really, really correlates with the types of customers that is a traditional MailChimp customer. So by us doing that integration, it enables mutual customers to integrate the data from MailChimp and Wix, put it together, and create better campaigns and more like campaigns that are based on real-time data of their customers, to basically enable their business to grow. Because if you're a small business owner, there's so many things that you need to be thinking about, and, you know, you don't have a big marketing team that can kind of sit and work on things. You need to be able to use the data that you have straight out of the box and build effective marketing campaigns to your customer base. And it's hugely interesting when you think about, like, Wix also has an integration into QuickBooks as well. So
another Intuit product, right? Yeah,
exactly. If you think of the customer journey and the life cycle within that space, you know, you have a product like Wix, which enables you to, you know, get up and running and be online really, really quickly and easily. You then have a QuickBooks integration that enables you to manage that business effectively, making sure that, you know what your financials are doing. And then you have a company, and then you have a product like MailChimp, which then enables your business to grow. So it's kind of like laying all of the foundations, and then us enabling the information from what you have there to then making sure that you're actively reaching out to your customer base and helping your business to earn more money.
Now, you touched on there the subject that's on everybody's lips right now, for better or for worse, AI.
Okay.
And being able to sort of segment customers and those sorts of things. How does that work?
Yeah, so it's hugely interesting, and AI is a massive, massive driver for both MailChimp and Intuit, both of them. But we are looking at ways. We've got a beta at the moment in the UK of how we can use AI to help with messaging, and where we can use the AI will start to learn how an email is written, like how it is then translated into, like, whether it's kind of like received well or not, and the success of that email. So we're looking at AI in those kind of instances. We've got AI that enables us to, like, auto-generate emails as well, just to make that really, really easy and simple.
I mean, because that's a huge time suck for so many, especially smaller teams, right? Like you were saying earlier, people having to wear so many hats and having to do so many different tasks.
Yeah.
Having some of that burden picked up for you is going to be a massive, massive piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you need to be able to free yourself up to do what, like, to drive your business, right? And even though I personally feel like it makes you more lazy, like, that you can now go online and give some commands and get this amazing content coming back. Like, it's a real shift in mindset, isn't it? Because AI is going to, it helps you enable it, but you've also got to get the message right. So you're going to have to kind of give it the right steer in order for you to get the right messaging coming back. And so when you're thinking about your email strategy, again, it's kind of like testing and learning which kind of, like, response, like, what kind of data and responses and, stories should you be telling to your customers, which ones are resonating well, which ones aren't, learning very quickly and creating new messaging for those ones that that you're not getting a good response for. Like, it's all about speed and being able to make sure that you can quickly test whether something's working or not and then move on if it's not.
I mean, maybe that's the start of a probably a really big question, Ali.
Okay.
What does make one email campaign more successful than another email campaign?
That's a difficult question, right? And there, you know, we always talk about email being, it's like a science and an art. It's two together because everything is based on perception, right? And so I think like the first thing that we think is the first thing you need to be thinking about is your deliverability of your emails. So I don't know how many people listening to this will know, but you know, depending on which email service provider you choose, they will have different deliverability rates. And a deliverability rate is based on the fact of, is this email that I'm sending being sent into the person's inbox or is it ending up in spam? So, you know, you want to ensure that your content and your message is going to active subscribers and that it is being delivered. So in our world, we're really, really hot on this. We want to ensure that everybody is sending the right emails to the right contacts. Contacts are opted in, for example. And so our deliverability rate is over 99%. So if you're a MailChimp customer, you know that if you're sending your emails out to your customer base, they're actually going to see it and they're going to open it. So that's really, really key. And then you need to kind of like think around lots of like different like factors around like what it really means in ensuring that the email will arrive at the inbox rather than hitting the spam folder. So then again, that goes into, are you sending it to people who know you, who are engaged with you and who are active with you? And are you sending them content that they are engaged with and that they find interesting? So yeah, there's kind of like the data side of it, but then there's also like the art of it, which is what do your customers want to hear?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's a really hard one. And as you were talking earlier about that AI piece, you know, I think that's the part of it that can traditionally break down for people, that there's pressure on time, pressure, financial pressure to get an email out, to deliver an email to the database of customers. And we just have to get it there. The last one, it had mixed response, but we don't really know why.
Yeah.
You know, was it that the offer we put in there wasn't interesting enough to those people? Or was it just that our copy wasn't very engaging? Or even something as simple as like the subject line, people were not interested to actually open that email further. It is hard. It is hard. But, you know, if this is where I start to love AI, you know, if it can start to give insight into those sorts of areas, then that's where I think we're going to win with it, you know. And, okay. And there's been a lot going on about, you know, Elon Musk and AI right now, and his sort of, I suppose they're kind of thinly veiled warnings about what it could do and what it could be. But you were right about the prompts that you give it. It's only as good as the prompts that you can give it until you have proper machine learning in there that makes that change. But if you're, you know, if you're feeding your AI, here are the emails we're sending out, what are people engaging with and not engaging with, then that takes a massive load off somebody having to interpret that and play that into the next campaign, rather than just being able to look for that answer rather than analyze the data.
And I think that data piece is really important because, you know, even if you're small, by spending an amount of time in ensuring your data and your lists and your customers is up to date and is segmented, that will help so much. Because we are past the days where you can send the same email to everyone and get as much of a good response as you previously did. People want to know, you know, customers want to know that the brand understands them. It's like, I remember like years ago, I bought some shoes or something from somewhere, and I had these shoes, great customer experience. And then I kept getting emailed about the same shoes that I just bought. And I was thinking, what? You know, this is so basic, but, you know, you need to know that I've already got those shoes and to email me about something that might go with them or something completely different. So I think that, like, that segment, that the quality of the list and understanding where that customer's come from, why they've engaged with you, you know, did they engage with you over social media or did they engage with you because they came to your website and bought something? Like, having an understanding about that then enables you to really kind of nurture the message that you want to send to the customer. And, you know, I think, like, email is about quality rather than quantity. And you need to be building trust with your customers. It's kind of like, you know, if you meet someone in real life and they're, you know, they're really sort of, you know, you need to build trust with them, right? So what you're saying to them, is what you're saying credible? Does it resonate with them? Can they understand where your message is coming from? Are you telling them something that they're interested about, you know, or are you just kind of sending them, you know, talking about something that they've just got no idea about? That's what email's like. You're trying to have that one-to-one conversation with your customers through an email. So, yeah, I think from our perspective, it's all around, like, enabling, like, helping you have the tools to do that. And so then when you can segment your clients, then you can, like, very quickly, easily put them into the right sort of, like, process flow and start sending them the best kind of information possible.
Well, I think that's a really good point, in the sense that lots of customers via email are now running through automated flows, rather than thinking back however many years, people would just be hit with a newsletter, they'd be hit with a campaign, and that would be it, because we didn't have the capability to be able to automate lots of it based on their behavior. Whereas now all of that is completely available to be able to run you and I through exactly the same flow, but for us to receive different messaging based upon actions that we take or how we respond to certain messages.
Yeah.
That's got to be a key part in all of this. Now, look, I know you've got a customer who is using this incredibly well, like, in terms of how they are delivering different messages to different people, because actually they're talking about something that's reasonably sensitive. But this is something that I actually really love, knowing about what this case study is. I'm a non-drinker. I haven't had a drink for over 5 years, 5.5 years, something like that. And do you know what? It was just a personal choice. It was no great thing. I just decided, actually, alcohol wasn't serving me. I had one small child and another one on the way, and they didn't care whether I had been out the night before and had only been in bed for a few hours and maybe my head might have been hurting or whatever else. My daughter would come in and she was, that's it, like, it's 5:30 or 6 a.m. she's ready to go. Come on, daddy, why aren't you as pumped about the day as I am? So, you know, for me, it just became one of those things where I said, okay, cool, I'm gonna stop drinking. But it was never a, like, I'm never gonna drink again. It's just kind of happened that, and now I'm showing my age, that 5.5 years have passed.
No, I think that's amazing. And yeah, you're referring to Club Soda, which is our customer in the UK. And their business is around helping people stop drinking, helping people cut down, giving information to people who are thinking about cutting down or quitting drinking. So, you know, it's a really great example of you having one company, but totally different, like, facets of customers that are going to their website. So you can go onto their website and you can buy non-alcoholic drinks, or you can find information around, like, support and, you know, things that you might need if you wanted to go down a sober journey or if you wanted to cut cut back. So for them, being able to segment their base and send information that is relevant to them is hugely, hugely important. And as you mentioned, it's quite a it's a sensitive subject, right? Some people might be going on there just to get some information. I don't really want anybody to know about it. So being able to send information through an email and keeping their customers engaged with that content is really, really helping the business to grow. And it's, you know, it's quite interesting, actually, if you look at the case study on our website, you'll see that they feel happy, actually, when they get sort of like customers that stop engaging because they feel like they've done
their job. Interesting.
Yeah. It's hugely important for them to be able to kind of like do that segmentation. And I think it's a fantastic business that is hugely relevant in today's world.
Because they've built quite a community, right? And they use email to leverage that community. Whereas traditionally, like lots of brands want their community to be quite public. And for everybody to see how active and involved people are. And whereas this is a bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, because I think because of the sensitivity of it. So, we're very proud to be able to help them in keeping that community going and also being able to kind of like give them the right tools to be able to, you know, communicate with them in that right way. And then, like you say, you know, it's not necessarily a community that you could build through socials if people are wanting to keep their identity quiet, really.
And I talk a lot to my clients about how they use email, you know, in terms of what their purpose is for it and those sorts of things, because it's not always a sales first approach, right? And I think these guys follow a similar pattern.
Yeah, well, it's about having like a 360 degree view of the customer, isn't it, really? Because their customers are potentially going through a different journey and they're going to turn from one particular customer to another. So they might come on being curious and then they might completely, you know, say, right, I now want to be completely teetotal. Now, how do you help me with that? And what products are there? And so you've also gone from a information journey to actually then a purchase journey. If you want to then start purchasing non-alcoholic drinks. So it's a changing customer, which you don't necessarily see as much if you were, say, like a fashion retailer, because if you're a fashion retailer, you generally know the kind of clothes I buy and it doesn't really change too much, does it? I don't kind of...
Well, not unless you want to buy the same pair of shoes twice.
Yeah, exactly. Or if maybe, yeah, like I have a kid and then now I'm starting to look at the kids' clothes as well. But yeah, I think that the potential change in that 360 view of seeing what the customers are engaging with and pushing that right message to them. And also, like, because I think it's quite a sensitive subject, you need to make sure that the information isn't too much. You know, it's not, you don't want to be like preaching. And then I think a big thing around email as well is like, and it's like the loaded question, which is how often do you contact someone?
See, that is a really sensitive question, because obviously that varies from client to client, like, you know, like merchant to merchant, customer to customer even. You know, there are some people who want to get hit regularly with email and respond, and others who, I mean, I'm one of those that if too many emails are just landing in my inbox, that's it. Like, I'm out. It doesn't matter how interested in the brand I am. I'm never that engaged. And I'm probably a marketer's worst nightmare in that respect, that I'm like, I want lots, but not too much. And there's a really delicate, you know, tipping point between enough and too much.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, even when you look at the way that people's lives are different now, right? So, I mean, you know, look, before COVID, like, what X percentage of the population were traveling to work at between 8 and 9? Very good time to send them an email that they can kind of sit on the train and look, you know, read through. Whereas now we're not doing that as much. Like, when is our downtime? Like, when is a good time for people to, you know, sit there and receive an email and then action from it, right? But I think as long as like they're engaging with your content, you know that they're interested in your brand and they want to be hearing the messages that you are. I think you need to be worried if they're not opening your emails. And then start like testing like things like subject line and looking at the content that you're sending them.
So, Ali, I recently bumped into you in person. I can't even remember where we were.
But you guys had a big stand. But you're doing a big push, right?
You guys are out doing loads of things at the minute. Like, what's kind of coming up next for you? Or where have you been maybe recently as well?
So we're back. We never went anywhere. But yeah, like you say, we sponsored, I think it was Ecom Expo that we were at. We had a big stand there, which was great. Seeing everyone kind of come up and being able to sort of meet people from MailChimp. It was such a great couple of days. And then around that time as well, we launched the Email is Dead campaign, which was at the British Design Museum. Unfortunately, it's stopped now, but anyone that is interested, have a look at some stuff that you can see online. It was absolutely amazing. So it was, I think it was about 2 years in the creation, and we wanted to kind of come to the UK and we create this, this story about email, because it is still so in its infancy, but it's also just become part of our everyday lives. And I think, everyone says, oh, email is dead, but it's not. It's not going anywhere. People still use it. It's a huge way to communicate to your customers. And there were some really, really interesting kind of like stats and things around there. I'm not going to be able to remember it, but we had a stat on there, which was Bart Simpson sent the date that Homer Simpson sent a first email and his email address, like funny things like that. Like when the Queen sent her first email.
Oh my God, did she have email? Did the Queen actually have an email?
Yeah, I think she was like the first royal to send an email.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. And apologies, I don't actually have that data. So we did that. And then we have got another sort of like customer success event coming up. So we also did one this year in the summer, which was a huge success. We had Stephen Bartlett was there. It's where we get our customers to come together and we sort of like talk to them all around, email strategy and what's going on. We've got another one of those coming up next year. And from a partnership perspective, we're just really, really driving, working with the agencies that sit within the mid-market space. We've got great integrations into Shopify. We've got the Wix integration. We've got BigCommerce integrations, Adobe. So all of those are there. And the UK is working hard on building out the relationships with the digital agencies that sit within those networks so that we can kind of start re-educating everyone on where MailChimp sits. Last week we were at the e-commerce awards, which was super fun and a very late night.
Do you know what? I have seen a few pictures. I expected to see way, way more from the people there, but I think there was probably quite a lot of alcohol flying. And I think people have vetoed a lot of pictures from what I hear. Like, you can't use this one, you can't use that one. This person's eyes are closed, or that person's not looking quite as sharp as maybe they would have liked.
Everyone was very, very smart. And it's amazing to, that we can create an event like that, right? Within the UK ecosystem. I think I've worked with global teams in the last few roles that I've had, and the UK really is at the forefront of e-commerce. It you know, the way that our ecosystem works together and is so tightly it's just a tight community, isn't it? Everybody knows each other. Everyone's kind of carving out their own sort of like place where they sit within this ecosystem. I think it's really, really unique. And it's a really, really great place to work. I absolutely love it. Like, you know, I said to you, I've been in here, I think it's about 15 years now.
And tell me, you guys like are trying to be, you know, more and more, you know, like a bigger part of that ecosystem and how that works. You have got a virtual conference coming up, or have you just done that?
I think we just did. Yeah, we just did one, and then the customer. What do we call it? We've got a. I'll tell you the official name. Marketing Success Season. So yeah, that's going to be a virtual conference coming up for the holiday season. So. People can go online and download and see the content on there.
Because it's about to get hectic, right? For brands everywhere, it's about to get hectic. And if you're about to do, I was reading some stat the other day that people expect to do something like 40% plus of their annual revenue between now and Christmas.
Really? Wow.
And for me, like I talk about a lot about how are people going to not only make the sale now, but how can they retain as many of those customers as they can in the future? Because like you were saying, you've worked so hard and paid so much money to acquire a customer. Yes, okay, they've bought a discounted product, but how do we make sure that we're ready to re-engage, you know, those people and make sure that you're collecting email addresses and that, especially like in Europe, America's a slightly different beast, but that those people are opted in to receive marketing messaging from you so that you can make sure that everybody's receiving relevant content and you're re-engaging as many of those as you can. Is there anything that MailChimp is doing right now to really kind of help drive that for merchants? Or is it a case of going through a checklist and making sure that you are hitting best practices and making sure that you're collecting as many email addresses as you can?
I don't think it's about as many email addresses as you can and hitting them. I think it goes back to our point of understanding, like trying to understand that customer before you start engaging with them. We're ensuring that we've got a huge amount of technical integrations with e-com platforms, with other tech vendors that are in the market, so that there's a good flow of information so you can get a good understanding of who your customer is and what they want. So then that enables you to give the best outreach. And I think, you know, if you're when things happen like Black Friday and Christmas and you've got a huge amount of like new data that's coming in, being able to quickly segment those customers, being able to quickly put flows in, to going back to my previous point of being able to kind of like test the flows out and seeing which ones are successful or not, is really, really important. So, you know, like we want to be able to say like, hey, look, this email that you sent, you only got a 5% open rate. Try changing the language to this, for example, so that we can just help educate our customers on what's working for them and what's not. Because like we sort of said earlier, you know, you might like hearing very different language to what I might like hearing. And so it is around finding what that differentiator is in order for customers to stay engaged.
Okay, awesome. And if people are looking for support with their MailChimp account, or even looking to maybe re-platform, move away from, you know, another ESP, how and where can people find you and that information?
Yeah, sure. So you can go onto the MailChimp website and drop us through a message on the chatbot and let us know like what you're interested in finding out about, or if you're interested in seeing how we compete with your current provider. that will then go through to the right person, the right team, and we will happily walk you through that. If you're a partner, drop me a message on LinkedIn. Love to hear from you.
I'll put your LinkedIn profile in the show notes so everybody can grab that if they need.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah, just come and talk to us. Come and find out why we're doing what we're doing, and seeing the capabilities that MailChimp has got. We've got such a well-known and liked brand, and I'm just really, really passionate about expanding our story, and getting everybody as excited as we are in the UK to what we're going to be able to achieve over the next 12 months.
Awesome. Well, look, that's probably a good place for us to leave it, Ali. But it's been awesome talking to you. Thank you so much. I'll speak to you soon.
Take care, Jason.